on reading verse 1. Isaiah 55, on reading verse 1. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come by wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, I shall call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall turn unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So once again, the Lord will bless the reading from his precious word. I want to look with you this morning at the wonder of salvation. The wonder of salvation. One of the great avenues of Bible exploration, study, is what we call the sectional method, where God brings certain areas of Scripture to give us an outstanding section. For example, we link Psalm 22, 23, and 24 together. Psalm 22, the Good Shepherd. Psalm 23, the Great Shepherd. Psalm 24, the Chief Shepherd. For here is one of these great areas of Scripture. Isaiah 53, Isaiah 54, and Isaiah 55. In Isaiah 53, we have the Savior's renown. God says, in virtue of the work of the cross, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, because he poured out his soul unto death, and because he was numbered with the transgressors, the Savior's renown. In 54, it's the Savior's request to enlarge thy coasts. But here in 55, we have the Savior revealed. Salvation. We might look at four things regarding this subject this morning. First of all, we have the gift of salvation. And secondly, in verses 2 and 3, the guarantee of salvation. In verse 4, the God of salvation. And in 6 and 7, the ground of salvation. You remember when Jonah was traveling along in the God-constructed submarine, the whale. He suddenly called out, "Salvation is of the Lord." That old whale must have been the first modernist. The moment Jonah said, "Salvation is of the Lord," the whale had an intestinal disorder, and out went Jonah. He was a first guided missile. He didn't go seaward. He went landward. He landed on solid ground. And the moment we accept the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior, we land on solid ground. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The great subject of salvation. Verse 1, we have the gift of salvation. Notice it is universal in its presentation. Secondly, it is unlimited in its purpose. And thirdly, inestimable in its price. Universal in its presentation is for everyone. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. It is universal in its presentation, it's for everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son,
Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's for everyone. And the book closes in the Revelation. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Even in Washington, D.C., a brilliant young mathematician, he says, the plan of salvation to me is far too simple. I must make some contribution. Take him to that verse. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Ha, he says, I see it now. It's a gift. He says, I must make that U-turn. He was in the broad road heading for destruction, and that young man made that U-turn. He accepted the Lord as a personal Savior. You know what his name was? Malachi. It's a good name. We went from there to Michigan, and a young man got saved called Joel. I've been looking for Habakkuk ever since. But there he was, Malachi. And the dear young man trusted the Savior and has gone on well for the Lord. It's universal in its presentation. It's for you. It's for everyone. We notice it's unlimited in its purpose. There's a reference in verse 1 to water and to wine, to milk rather than wine. Water speaks of satisfaction in the Bible. Come ye to the waters. The Lord Jesus, the universal lover, sat down on Sychar's well and said to the woman of Sychar, who had come to draw water at noonday, she was ostracized from society because of her lifestyle. And the Lord knew that she was coming. He knew her need. And he said to her, pointing to Jacob's well, whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And it shall be in him as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. We sometimes sing, I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, and the waters failed. E'en as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I will. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. In her enthusiasm, the woman left her water pot by the well and went away with a well in her heart. And she met the men of the city. Come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Her testimony was so profound that it influenced those men, and they said, we have seen him ourselves, and we know him to be the Savior of the world. Yes, water speaks of satisfaction. The Lord Jesus saw the priest going down to the pool of Siloam, taking a little water, little ceremony. The feast of Jehovah had become the feast of the Jews. There was great departure. And the Lord was moved at the hypocrisy of religion that could not meet men and women, boys and girls in their need. And we read the Lord cry with a loud voice, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his inwards will flow rivers of living water. Milk speaks of nourishment. The Bible speaks as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Milk speaks of nourishment. And there's too many people in the world today are like the prodigal. They're feeding on the husks that the swine would eat. And where there is available spiritual nourishment in the Word of God, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a reference to wine. And wine in the Bible speaks to us of joy. The Lord Jesus found a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, half dead, And as a good Samaritan, he poured in oil and wine. Oil speaks of the Holy Spirit, and wine speaks of joy. And there's no joy to be compared with the joy of becoming a believer in the Lord Jesus. That is the supreme joy. With meetings in the city of Detroit, a young lady worked as a home help in the home of an ex-Jesuit priest. He spent 15 years in a seminary in Montreal. He left that system, married this lady in Detroit. And this lady, working as a home help, spoke to him about the Lord, about being saved, and then she said, there are two preachers in town, would you like to meet them? He said, sure, bring them along. He was a real gentleman, and he was a real theologian, if ever there was one. But he made the remark that day, there's still a void in my heart. I said, Jack, can I ask you a question? He told me what his name was. Can I ask you a question? I said, was there ever a time that you received the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior? Oh, no, he says, I taught theology, but I must be truthful. I have never at any moment accepted him into my heart. Well, I said, that's your problem. Well, I said, let's go on with it. And the dear man that day bowed his head, confessed his sin to the Lord, and asked him to come into his life and to give him everlasting life. A gentleman to the left of us, to whom we had not been introduced, started jumping around in the room, hitting his chest and pointing upward. My colleague said, what is going on? Mrs. Lefebvre says, that's my brother Elmer. He's a deaf mute. And he's just gotten saved. We had no communication with him at all. But as we talked to Jack Lefebvre, he was reading our lips. And as we went out the door that day, if you had seen that deaf mute, tears coursing down his cheeks, and going this way, as much as to say, simply to thy cross I cling, O Lamb of God, I come. The joy of that home was unparalleled as God moved in and souls were saved. The dear man, Jack Lefebvre, passed away some time later, and one of the brethren from Martin Road, Detroit, officiated at his funeral. Joy. Happy is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered, and to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Notice, friend, it's inestimable in its price. Without money, and without price. A substitute Sunday school teacher was asked to handle the sermon. And she thought she'd get some help from the class. So she said to the class, how can you buy something without money and without price? This little girl says, charge it. I don't know how they do things in Texas, but I know how they do things in Massachusetts. And that's exactly what it's all about. We charge it to his account. The Lord Jesus paid for our salvation, not in silver and gold, but in the currency of his precious blood. It's precious. Inestimable in its price. The poet is the maker of the universe. As man for man was made a curse. The claims of law that he had made unto the uttermost he paid. His holy fingers formed a bow. For grew the thorns that crowned his brow. The nails that pierced his hands were mine, in secret places he designed. He made the forest whence there sprung, the tree in which his body hung. He died upon a cross of wound, yet made the hill on which it stood. Sun which hid from him its face, by his decree was poised and spit. The skies which darkened o'er his head, by him above the earth was spread. The spear that spilt his precious blood was tempered in the fires of God. The grave in which his form was laid was hewn in rocks his hands had made, but the throne on which he now appears was his from everlasting years, and a new glory crowns his brow, and every knee to him shall bow. My dear friend, you will bow the knee to Jesus, either in time, or you will be compelled in eternity. To bow the knee now and accept him as a personal Savior is most rewarding. But if you continue in that course, you will bow the knee when it is too late to obtain salvation. Every knee will bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So it is an absolute must. Why not do it today if you're not saved? Now we look quickly to the guarantee of salvation, the guarantee of salvation in verse 2 and 3. Wherefore you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. Notice what God says, hearken diligently unto me. The world today is confused with religion. Now, says God, don't you listen to men. You listen to me, and listen good. Hearken diligently unto me. You see, friend, you can't pay for salvation, and you can't work for salvation. Paul says to him that worketh, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of death. But to him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You can't pay for it, and you can't work for it. It's a gift of salvation from God. You don't pay for a gift. You don't work for a gift. It's presented to you, and you receive it, and I trust you say thanks. Now, here is God giving the greatest gift, the gift of his Son. I wonder, have we ever sat down and said thanks? Thanks be unto God, says Paul, for his unspeakable gift. Here is the guarantee of salvation. With the soul delivered, we have the soul's delight, and we have the soul's destiny. The soul delivered. Hear, and your soul shall live. There's a priceless vehicle in your chest called the soul. Karl Marx, the founder of totalitarianism, communism, said, workers of the world unite, you've nothing to lose but your chains, and the whole world to gain. I wonder what Karl Marx would think of communism today. By way of contrast, the Lord Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Having meetings in New Jersey, a lady spoke to me at the end and she said, my brother-in-law just sold his ice cream franchise for $80 million. I said, why don't you invite him out to the meetings? Oh, she says, he's not interested in the Bible. He's not interested in Christianity. A week later, I saw his death in the obituary column. He was gone and left $80 million. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It's a wonderful thing to have the conscious realization that our soul is delivered from going down to the place called hell. The Lord said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But oh, how wonderful to know God's salvation, that our soul can be redeemed, the soul delivered. This is his guarantee. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's from the lips of the God who cannot lie, the soul deliverer. Notice the soul's delight, and let the soul delight itself in fatness. Wonderful thing to have the soul delighting in the things of God. And then with the soul's destiny, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Or we could spend an hour or more talking about the sure mercies of David. One of those sure mercies that comes to mind is, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The soul's destiny. When our beloved brother passed away on Friday evening, what a glorious reality. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Having put his trust in the Lord Jesus, suddenly cut off, and his soul winged its way to glory with his spirit. Oh yes, the body is still here, but he could truly say, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And if we could tune in to our brother right now and ask him a question. What message would you give to the people down there in Houston? What message would you give them now? I am sure he would say, meet me there. Meet me there. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for him that love him. He's at home with the Lord. Wonderful to have that preparation. We never know if we'll be here tomorrow. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The Lord doesn't guarantee that you'll be here or you'll be saved tomorrow. But he guarantees that you'll be saved today if you will come and accept the Lord Jesus. The soul's destiny. Heaven. Home. And him. The wonderful man of Calvary. Like to visit an old lady next to the chapel in Spanish Wells in the Bahamas. Her mind was completely out of it. She didn't know her family, didn't know where she was, nothing. I went in to visit her, and I began to quote Psalm 23. And to my amazement, she came in, verse by verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and so on. And as we went down the chapter, the psalm, I thought I would trick her. And I said, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for a week. She says, a week? Forever? She almost jumped out of bed after me. You see, there the Holy Spirit had embedded in her mind that was now out of control, but that was right resident there, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I'm sure a beloved brother would say to you and to me, meet me there. The guarantee of salvation. The soul delivered, the soul's delight, and the soul's destiny. In verse 4, we have the God of salvation. He is a witness to the people. He is a leader and a commander to the people. Oh, this is holy ground. You feel like Moses taking the shoes from off your feet. The place whereon we stand is holy ground when we speak about the God of salvation. Yes, he is a witness to believe. He is a leader to follow, and he is a commander to obey. He is a faithful witness. And the greatest preacher that ever lived was the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. What he says again reveals to us that he is a faithful witness. He tells us in his word that there's a place called heaven and there's a place called hell. He indeed was the greatest preacher that ever lived, and he was very faithful in what he presented. Some will believe, and sad to say, some are unbelievers. Yes, he said again, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He gives rest, he gives comfort, he gives joy. He's a faithful witness. And he says, if you die in your sins, thither I go, ye cannot come. For the termini of life, my friend, we must be faithful to the word. The termini of life is either heaven or hell. It was never God's intention that a soul go to hell. Dr. Torrey says God has blockaded the road to hell with his love. God will do everything possible to keep a soul from going down into the pit. You see, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But if men and women are obstinate and reject God's Son, they pay the ultimate price. Judas walked with Jesus. He saw his miracles. He heard his wise counsel. He saw the perfect man. And yet we read that he sold his master for the price of a female slave. And Judas, by transgression, we read, went to his own place. Judas chose to go to hell. The Bible again, the faithful witness says, "Woe to them who have gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the error of Balaam, for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." Here were people who were in a holy environment. Cain, like some of you young people, raised in a Christian home. Adam and Eve, the mother and dad, clothed with skins of an animal, blood was shed. And that's the foundation of salvation, is shed blood. Oh, his brother Abel was a wise kid. He listened to his parents, and God accepted his sacrifice. But Cain wanted to do his thing. He got mad with God, killed his brother, and went out a fugitive and a vagabond. Raised in a holy environment, today's in hell. Balaam stood in the holy mount. He addressed God as Jehovah, as Elohim. He believed in the triunity of the Godhead. He spoke with God, but he went to hell on the holy mount. And Korah saw his cousin Aaron going into the holy sanctuary. And these three men, in a holy environment, and sad to say, they all went to hell. This is what God says, not Neil Dougal, the preacher. Faithful witness. Yes, he would say to you today, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is a leader to follow. A leader to follow. You can't follow men, or you'll be in trouble. You follow him, and all will be well. Following Jesus ever day by day, nothing can harm us when he leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, whatever befall, Jesus the shepherd is my all in all. Oh, he's a wonderful leader. He's the perfect leader. And he will do you good if you follow him. But notice also he is a commander. He is a commander to obey. I was in the service, and if the captain gave an order, and you didn't do it, look out. The Lord is a commander to obey. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The God of salvation. Finally, in verses 6 and 7, we have the ground of salvation. The basis whereby we can enjoy this free, great salvation. First of all, seek. You must make up your mind to do it. We can't do it for you. Your mom or your dad can't do it for you. Your wife or your husband or your relative. No one can do it. You must do it. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. We read that the wise men, they sought him out. The Greeks came and said, sir, we will see Jesus. Zacchaeus, that little man, ran ahead, maybe out of curiosity, climbed the tree, and the Lord could see there was a development in his mind regarding salvation. He stops at the foot of the tree, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house, for as much as this day salvation is come to thy house. Oh friend, you have to seek him out. Call upon him while he is near, we read in verse 6. For we all know what it means to call out. Blind Bartimaeus is sitting and he hears a commotion, a movement of people. What's going on? He was enlightened. He says, Jesus of Nazareth, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. You know what it means to call. The thief on the cross who had a change of attitude, he called, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord says, today. The fact he says, Lord, his sins were all forgiven and forgotten. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Let the wicked forsake his way, we rend. Nebuchadnezzar was made to eat grass like an ox. And he changed his attitude. He forsook his wicked ways. And he came and God accepted him again. And says the scripture, the unrighteous man, his thoughts. Saul of Tarsus, who was a giant intellect, a commanding genius, he says, I thought to do contrary to the things and name of Jesus. I thought. He abandoned those wicked thoughts and he says on the Damascus road, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Yes, call today if you're not saved. He's listening and be assured he will answer. And let him return unto the Lord. The prodigal realized that he had sinned against God and against his parents. I have sinned. I will return to my father's house. And he left the far country, went his way home. And oh, what a welcome he got. He returned to the father's house. The Lord would ask you to return, to abandon your past, and come to the Father's house. And he will abundantly pardon. We sometimes sing pardon from an offended God, pardon for sins of deepest dye, pardon bestowed through Jesus' blood, pardon that brings the rebel nigh. Who is a pardoning God like thee, who has grace so rich and free? So friend, as I close, let me ask you a question. Have you obeyed the commander's request? If not, why not? You might not get another opportunity. These people that went on that TWA plane, 800 out of New York, they never thought for a moment that they would have been going down in a ball of fire into the Atlantic Ocean. Had they thought that that would have been their portion, not one of them would have ever have got aboard that plane, right? We always think it's going to happen to someone else. And the wise thing is, be kind to your soul and trust the Lord Jesus today. We certainly can't save you. There's only one man who can, but we can help you. If you've got a question, if you need any help, I'll be the back of the chapel. You talk to me, and we'll sit down and look into God's Word. We won't coerce you into anything. That's not our business. We just want to see you saved by the grace of God and meet our beloved brother who went home to glory on Friday evening. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank Thee once again for Thy kindness in bringing us again in and around Thy precious Word. We thank Thee for everyone who has come out this morning. And we pray, O Father, again that Thou shalt endorse Thy salvation here in this very place. And if perchance there are one or one's not saved, we pray, Father, they'll turn to the Lord Jesus, whom to know is life eternal. We ask these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Shall we sing in closing? Number 68. Well, there's a lady up here who can play. Thank you, dear. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Number 68 on the meeting will be over. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are you white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom comes, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing from the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb.